Chapter 21.
Each culture is different. Each species is unique. That presents challenges to the warrior, who often must ascertain from limited clues the strategy, goals, and tactics of an opponent. But the danger of misreading an opponent is sometimes even greater in politics. There, one seldom has the clearness of weapons activation or troop movement to warn of impending danger. Often, the only indication of conflict is when the battle has already begun.
The shuttle hatch opened, letting in the warm afternoon air. After all these years, Arinda had come home. She paused at the top of the ramp, taking a moment to let her gaze drift across the buildings of Capital City before turning to the more rustic Lothal landscape surrounding it. After the massive cityscape of Coruscant, the sight of wild vegetation was almost a shock.
"Welcome home, Governor,"
a voice called from the bottom of the ramp. Arinda looked down. Mokath Tua stood there, dressed in the blue and gray of an imperial minister, a hint of her blonde hair glinting from beneath her close-fitting conical helmet. Her hand held a data pad. Her smile held a hint of nervousness.
"Thank you,"
Arinda said, walking down the ramp and stopping in front of her.
"It's been a while, hasn't it?"
Yes, Governor,
the woman confirmed.
"Over a year since you succeeded to the governorship, in fact."
Arinda felt her lip twitch. And in that year, she'd spent less than a week here, usually only a few hours at a time, ruling by proxy the world she'd worked so hard to get. Most of her time had been spent on Coruscant, making friends, bolstering Lothal's standing among the Empire's thousands of worlds, and chasing down incriminating bits of information for Grand Moff Tarkin. But finally, finally, she was here to stay. After the glittering lights of Coruscant, she still wasn't entirely sure how she felt about that.
"Which also makes it over a year since you were appointed overseer of industrial production," she said. "So tell me, how is Lothal's industrial production getting along?"
"Quite well, Your Excellency, quite well,"
Tua said.
"I have all the relevant data whenever you're settled in and ready to examine it."
Silently, Arinda held out her hand. Tua's cheerful expression slipped just a bit, and she hastily handed Arinda the data pad.
"It's the file on top, Your Excellency."
"Thank you."
Arinda keyed to the file, watching Tua out of the corner of her eye. The woman had been an assistant minister during the last couple of months of Governor Azadi's administration. Azadi's sudden removal and arrest on charges of treason had been a traumatic event for the entire governmental staff. And even after all this time, it was clear that Tua wasn't completely over it. Hopefully the others were feeling likewise. Nervous subordinates worked extra hard and kept their noses very clean. Until they had a better feel for their newly returned boss, they would be polite, energetic, and easy to control or intimidate. Which was just as well, because the intimidation was about to start in earnest.
"What's this decline in refinery output?" she asked, turning the data pad around. 20% in the past 4 months."
"It's the mines, Your Excellency,"
Tua said.
"They've been worked so hard over the past few years that they're running out of quality ore."
"Really?"
Arinda said, letting her voice cool a bit. Tua's throat tightened.
"They've been worked very hard,"
she repeated.
"It's also more and more difficult to find qualified miners. A lot of young people go into the academy. Commandant Oresco has set up a whole string of incentives for them. They just don't want to work the mines anymore like they used to. With the Empire running them instead of the old mining families..."
Then you bring in miners from off-world,
Arinda cut in. She'd already noted that the Imperial-run mines had logged the quickest decline in workers.
My parents...
She broke off, as a number on the list caught her attention.
That Dunium vein is tapped out already? That's impossible.
I'm sorry, Your Excellency, but it's true,
Tua said.
I've been down the mine myself. All the Dunium has been extracted.
I see, Arinda said, pulling up the full data spread on Price Mining. The fact that Ranking had blatantly kept the name was just one additional irritation.
In that case, Price Mining isn't worth the effort being put into it. Shut it down.
Tua's eyes widened in shock.
Excuse me, Your Excellency?
Was the order unclear?
No, Your Excellency,
Tua said hastily.
Do you want it... Is it to be closed right now?
Right now,
Arinda confirmed.
At the end of the current shift. See to it personally, Minister.
Yes, Your Excellency.
She turned and started to go.
Minister!
Tua turned back.
Yes, Your Excellency?
Arinda held out the woman's datapad.
I understand Senator Ranking is on Lothal at the moment,
she said as Tua hastily retrieved the device.
Have someone inform him that I want to see him in my office at his earliest convenience.
Her office in the government building was just as she'd left it, neat, but only sparsely decorated. Azadi's supporters had looted the room of all his personal effects after his arrest, and Arinda hadn't bothered to replace any of them, nor did she intend to. She was here to work, not relax among trinkets and sentiment. She spent the rest of the afternoon and early evening reading through the data that had accumulated since Azadi's last report to Coruscant. Lothal's industrialization was proceeding at a gratifying pace, but there were still some serious deficiencies that needed to be addressed. It was almost sundown when the droid in the outer office announced that Ranking had arrived. To Arinda's complete lack of surprise, the senator barged through the door without waiting for permission to enter.
Welcome back, Your Excellency, he said, without a shred of actual welcome in his voice. How long are you here for this time?
Hopefully I'm going to be here permanently, Arinda said.
Wonderful.
He stopped at the edge of the desk, his face darkening.
Now what the hell is this about closing my mine?
Your mine? Arinda countered calmly. Forgive me, but I didn't realize you had a mine. I thought all mines on Lothal were owned or overseen by the Empire.
You know what I'm talking about, Ranking ground out. Your old mine, Price Mining. My agreement with the Empire was for 10% of the profits.
That would have been reason enough right there to shut it down, Arinda said. But don't flatter yourself. Closing it was a strictly business decision. The Dunium vein is tapped out, and there aren't enough experienced miners left to waste them on underperforming rock. Hence, Price Mining will be shut down, and its employees transferred elsewhere.
And I suppose you'll decide which people go where?
Ranking asked suspiciously.
I will leave that up to Minister Tua,
Arinda said.
But it seems only fair that the employees with the highest seniority be offered the best positions.
Those being the ones left over from when you ran the mine, I suppose.
That is how seniority works,
Ranking hissed between his teeth.
I don't have to just sit here and take this, you know, he said. I can bring in my own experts and show you that the mine's production is at least on a par with every other mine on Lothal.
You could,
Arinda agreed.
But you won't. Would you like to know why?
I'm dying to find out,
he bit out sarcastically.
One, because Price Mining is too small to be worth a fight,
she said, counting off fingers.
You have other interests that pay much better, especially now that the Dunium is gone. Two, because every favor you burn on a worthless mine is a favor you can't call in for something else. I know how you work. You can't afford to waste favors on pride. She let her expression harden. And three, the only way I could have obtained this governorship so young is if I have powerful friends and patrons. Very powerful friends. And after all your digging, I dare say you still have no idea who they are. Until you do, you don't dare raise a finger against me.
For a long moment, they stared at each other across the desk. Then, with another soft hiss, Ranking inclined his head.
In that case, Governor, I believe our conversation is over.
I believe it is, Senator.
Arinda agreed.
Good evening.
She waited until he was gone from her office, and the door watch droids reported that he'd left the building. Then, keying the hollow on her desk, she punched in a familiar number. The display lit up with a triangular face, bright eyes, and lumpy head crest of a female Ankhs.
Hello, Echoes,
Arinda said.
This is Arinda Price. How have you been?
For a moment, the eyes goggled. Then, abruptly, the Ankhs mining boss let loose a stream of Shusugaunt.
Easy, Echoes, easy,
Arinda said.
Basic, if you please. My Shusugaunt is quite rusty. Yes, I'm back. And yes, I'm still governor. But that doesn't mean we can't still work together. If you're still in the business of making money, that is.
Of course,
Echoes said, the words barely understandable through her thick accent.
Good,
Arinda said.
You're aware, of course, that Price Mining had a vein of Dunium they were working. I presume you're also aware that the vein has played out.
Yes, to both,
Echoes said, her voice heavy with regret.
It is very sad.
Not really, since we both know it isn't true,
Arinda said calmly.
I saw the report, and I know that the granite block that supposedly marked the end of the vein is nothing more than an intrusion. The Dunium continues on the other side.
Really?
Echoes said, sounding surprised.
Are you sure?
Of course I'm sure,
Arinda said.
Because you've been mining it.
The wrinkled cheeks puckered with dismay.
Governor Price!
Don't bother denying it,
Arinda interrupted.
Because I've seen your numbers too. The reason I called was to tell you that I've just shut down Price Mining. That means that starting tomorrow morning, you can go full bore on that vein without worrying that one of Ranking Stooges will hear your machines behind the granite.
The cheeks puckered again, this time in the opposite direction.
I do not know what to say.
Then don't say anything,
Arinda said.
Just get that Dunium out and into processing.
She looked briefly at the map she'd pulled up on her datapad.
Depending on where the vein goes, we might need to relocate another farmer or two to get it out. Let me know if you need me to do that.
Yes, Governor Price. May you rest tonight in the warmth of your dreams.
And may you,
Arinda said. She keyed off. The sheer low-mind commonness of the traditional farewell grating across her ears and mind. She'd always thought Lothal painfully rustic, but life on Coruscant had seriously sharpened the contrast. She turned back to her computer and paused. Through the west-facing window, the sun was beginning to set. For a moment she watched, thinking back to the evening when her mother was arrested. And their lives had changed forever. At the time, she'd thought how the people in big cities probably never saw the horizon or the sunset, and had wondered if they ever thought about such things, or whether they even cared. Arinda had lived on Coruscant, and the galaxy's ultimate big city. And as she gazed out the window, she realized that she really didn't care. Keying the blinds closed, she turned her back on the distant horizon and got back to work. The next few months were an unpleasant mix of frantic work, irritating dealings with the locals, and unrelenting tedium. Lothal was exactly as Orinda remembered it, filled with backwoods humans, even more backwoods non-humans, patterns of cronyism that often undercut the imperial interests on the planet, and a social structure that provided no quality entertainment whatsoever. The cronyism was the worst part. During her years away in the capital, the Empire had steadily built up Lothal's industries, expanded the mines, and gradually brought in more troops to oversee it all. But not everyone was happy with the planet's new direction. The old leaders and families resented the slow erosion of their power, and they weren't quiet about lining up their friends, associates, and everyone else within their web of influence to denounce the new order. The imperial response had been predictable. Repression of speech and curtailment of freedoms, followed by business as usual. Part of that business involved moving farmers off their land, sometimes to establish a new factory or military facility, more often to enhance mining operations. Naturally, the farmers complained about the forced relocation and drew their friends into the quarrel, occasionally to the point of violence. It was a pointless argument. Lothal had more than enough cropland for its purposes, and in fact was still a net exporter of foodstuffs. The relative handful of lost farms was negligible, but the displaced farmers seldom saw it that way, and the offer of jobs in factories or mines was usually rejected out of hand. Still, despite the complaints of a small minority, the work continued to progress. Those who had claimed that the new development would create jobs and prosperity were vindicated. Those who had decried the heightened imperial presence and preached doom were reduced to quiet muttering. But not all the threats were internal. Orinda had been on Lothal 3 months when an unexpected danger quietly reared its head.
"Yes, Your Excellency. I noticed this report a few days ago,"
Minister Tua said, frowning in confusion at the page Orinda had pulled up on her computer.
"I don't see why it's a problem."
"Don't you?"
Orinda said darkly. For all Tua's expertise at managing Lothal's industrial infrastructure, the woman was utterly blind in certain matters.
"The governor of Kintoni is offering to expand her military-grade landing and maintenance facilities, and you don't see why that's a problem?"
"No, Your Excellency,"
Tua said, looking more confused than ever.
"I would think the more naval presence we have in the area, the better. With all the pirates and smugglers..."
"We don't want enhanced naval presence in this area," Orinda ground out.
Did the woman understand nothing?
"We want an enhanced naval presence on Lothal. Do you understand? Only on Lothal."
Tua shrank back into her chair, her eyes wide with surprise and fear. "Good."
"Your Excellency, we want Lothal to be the center of this part of the Outer Rim,"
Orinda said quietly. Somehow the softer tone seemed to frighten Tua more than the outburst had.
"That means industry, mining, commerce, expanded youth and military academies, and a powerful navy presence to maintain it all.
If Kintoni starts drawing away our ships, everything else will follow."
She raised her eyebrows.
"Do you want to live on Lothal the way it was, Minister Tua? Or do you even remember that far back?"
With a visible effort, Tua found her voice.
"I understand, Your Excellency, but..."
"But you don't see what we can do about it,"
Orinda said, suddenly disgusted. All of Tua's off-world schooling, and yet here she was, drifting back to thinking like a native. That is, barely at all.
I'm leaving immediately for Coruscant,
she said, blanking the display and standing up. So much for settling in permanently.
You'll be in charge until I return.
Yes, Your Excellency,
Tua said, belatedly getting to her feet.
May I ask how long you'll be gone?
Until I finish this, Arinda said. One way or another.
I'm sorry, but Grand Moff Tarkin isn't on Coruscant at the moment,
the receptionist at Tarkin's office said, her voice polite but vacant.
If you wish, I could send him a message.
No need, Arinda said.
She hadn't really expected Tarkin to be here, but it had been worth a try.
Just add a note to whatever you next send him that Governor Arinda Price of Lothal sends her greetings.
Yes, Governor.
So she didn't recognize Arinda either by face or by name. Not surprising, really. There were thousands of governors in the Empire, and no one could be expected to memorize even a tenth of them. Still, Arinda had hoped. The airspeeder's holocom was blinking a waiting call when she returned. She glanced at the ID, smiled to herself, and keyed it.
This is Governor Arinda Price.
She identified herself to the uniformed man who answered.
I'm returning a call from Commodore Thrawn.
One moment, Governor.
The display blanked. A minute later, Thrawn's familiar blue face and red eyes appeared.
Ms. Price,
Thrawn said, inclining his head toward her in greeting.
Rather, I should say, Governor Price.
Thank you for returning my call, Commodore,
Arinda said, deciding not to make an issue of the slip. She was familiar enough with Thrawn's lack of grace in social and political matters to know it hadn't been a deliberate insult. Besides, it was never a good idea to berate someone who was, hopefully, about to be useful.
Have you had a chance to look over the proposals I sent you?
I have,
Thrawn said, lowering his eyes to something off-screen.
If I understand correctly, you want my opinion as to whether Lothal or Kintoni would be the better location for an expansion of the Navy's presence in that part of the Outer Rim.
That's correct,
Arinda said, mentally crossing her fingers. Against her natural instincts, she discarded her original plan to subtly weigh the data and proposals in Lothal's favor. Thrawn might detect such manipulation, and that would be the end of any chance to get him on her side.
Obviously, I have an interest in this matter, but I tried to present the choice in as fair a manner as possible.
And so you did, Governor,
Thrawn acknowledged, his eyes still focused off-screen.
I took the liberty of confirming your notes and maps through the Navy archives. Your presentation was remarkably even-handed.
Thank you,
Arinda said, feeling a shiver run up her back. Just as well she hadn't tried to slant it.
Your conclusion?
Both systems offer advantages,
Thrawn said, finally looking back up at her.
But if I had to choose one, I would choose Lothal.
Arinda exhaled silently.
Thank you, Commodore, she said. May I quote you when I make my presentation to the High Command?
No need, Governor,
Thrawn said.
I have worked up a full analysis that includes my conclusions. I can send it to you now, if you like.
I would indeed, Arinda said. Thank you.
No thanks needed,
he assured her.
I always stand ready to assist the Imperial Navy in any way I can. Is there anything more?
Not at this time, Commodore, she said. Hopefully we'll cross paths again soon. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Governor.
It took a few moments for the report to load. First to her airspeeder, and then to a data card. Arinda watched the progress, running it all through her mind. With Thrawn's blessing in hand, There was only one person yet she needed to see before she would be ready to take her case to the High Command. And there was a reason she'd put this contact last on her list. Securing the data card in her pocket, she took a moment to mentally prepare herself. Then, joining the traffic flow, she headed across the center of the Federal District toward a familiar, a far too familiar place. The office of Senator Domus Rankin.
I hardly expected to see you here today, Rankin commented stiffly as he ushered Arinda to a chair.
Still seething over his loss of Price Mining, Arinda guessed, but still not ready to try a countermove against her.
I heard you were on Coruscant, but assumed you'd be spending your time with all those powerful friends and patrons you once threatened me with.
Social calls can wait, Arinda said, pulling out a data card. I presume you've heard about Kintoni's request for a larger Navy presence in their system?
Of course,
Rankin said, frowning as he sat down behind his desk.
So?
So, even the Navy hasn't got infinite resources,
Arinda said as patiently as she could.
She should have guessed Rankin would be so focused on his petty political intrigues that he would miss the full significance of Sans's power play. So every credit they spend on Kintoni is a credit they don't spend on Lothal. So we have to put a stop to it.
All right, fine, he said. Points well taken. I presume you have some ideas?
Of course, Arinda said. The plan is threefold. First, I have a proposal showing what Lothal could do in the way of landing and maintenance facilities. Here are the details. She handed him a data card. Second, I have an analysis and recommendation for Lothal from Commodore Thrawn. Third...
Thrawn?
Rankin cut in, frowning again.
That blue-skinned lieutenant we met at that Ascension Week party?
Yes. Only he's a Commodore now, Arinda said. And is highly respected by the High Command. His opinion ought to carry significant weight. And third... She raised her eyebrows. I want you to work on Governor Sans.
Work on her how?
I don't know, Arinda said impatiently. Talk to her, argue with her, persuade her. However you want to do it is up to you. Just get her to withdraw her proposal.
I can try, Rankin said. How long do I have?
The presentations will be heard 6 days from now, she said. I'm going to spend that time fine-tuning my proposal and looking for allies in the Senate. I suggest you spend that time working on Sans.
Got it, Rankin said. However I want to do it.
Arinda lifted a hand.
Just do what you do best, Senator. Do what you do best.
All rise,
the warrant officer standing beside the short table intoned. Seated among the crowd in the petitioner's gallery, Arinda stood up. Ranking beside her as an officer and two civilians filed into the room. Across the narrow aisle, she spotted Governor Sans as she rose with the rest of the people on her side of the gallery. Sans's back, it seemed to her, looked unnaturally stiff. The board took their seats, and as the petitioners sat down, the civilian in the middle picked up the data pad lying on the table in front of her.
The Select Committee of the Imperial High Command has studied the various proposals that have been brought before it,
she said.
We are here to make their decisions known.
She tapped the data pad.
First, in the matter of Lothal versus Kintoni regarding a contract for the expansion of Navy facilities, the contract is awarded to Lothal.
Arinda felt a flood of relief wash over her. She glanced across the aisle, and it seemed to her that some of Sans's stiffness drained away. Odd, given that her bid had just been turned down. Perhaps she hadn't wanted the contract as much as she'd let on.
"We can go now,"
Ranking prompted quietly, tapping her sleeve.
"Go ahead,"
Arinda murmured back, studying her data pad.
"The next few petitions are also Outer Rim matters. I'd like to see how those go down."
Ranking grunted.
"Fine,"
he said, and lapsed into sullen silence. Arinda had been keeping an eye on the various petitions, and none of the board's decisions came as a surprise. Finally, after 20 minutes, she nodded and gestured Ranking to the aisle. He stood up and slipped past the rest of the people in their row, Arinda right behind him.
"That worked out well,"
Ranking commented as they left the audience room and headed toward the building's exit.
"I suppose congratulations are in order."
"Thank you,"
Arinda said. Out of the corner of her eye, she saw a woman in a white ISB tunic angling across the entryway toward them.
"But we couldn't have done it without you."
"I'm glad I could do my part.
Senator Doom is Ranking,"
the woman said. Ranking turned to her, giving a small twitch as he spotted the uniform.
"Yes,"
he said cautiously.
"Major Hartell, ISB,"
the woman identified herself.
"I need you to come with me, sir."
"What for?"
Ranking asked, his face starting to darken.
"What's this about?"
Passers-by were beginning to pause and slow down, Arinda noted peripherally, and heads were starting to turn.
"Do you really want to have that discussion here, Senator?"
Hartell asked.
"I'll tell you what I don't want,"
Ranking countered, his voice starting to rise.
"I don't want some ISB flunky throwing my name on a list just so some other ISB flunky can play power games with the Imperial Senate. I demand to know the charge, if there even is one, and who the claimant is."
"As you wish, Senator," Hartell said. "The claimant in this case is the Imperial Security Bureau itself. The charge is bribery."
Ranking caught his breath.
"What?"
he asked, the words coming out from between stiff lips.
"Don't act so surprised," Hartell said. 4 days ago, you approached Governor Sans of Kintoni, offering a substantial bribe if she would withdraw her planet's petition before the High Command. Governor Sans declined on the grounds that a withdrawal at this late date would look suspicious, but then agreed to your counter-proposal that she deliberately sabotage her presentation, with double the original bribe to be paid if Lothal won the bid."
Ranking had taken on the look of a hunted animal.
"That's a lie,"
he insisted.
"All of it."
But to Arinda, his tone sounded more worried than defiant.
"Whatever Sans told you..."
"Governor Sans hasn't told us anything," Hartell said evenly. "But she will. She's already in custody for her part in this conspiracy."
Ranking caught his breath, twisting his head to look at Arinda.
"Price!"
"You really shouldn't discuss criminal acts with someone else's data card in your card pouch,"
Arinda said calmly.
"But..."
Ranking shot a look at Hartell, looked back at Arinda.
"You told me to do it!"
"I told you to talk, argue, or persuade her,"
Arinda corrected.
"I never suggested or even hinted you try to bribe her."
She gestured at Hartell.
"All of which is also on the recording."
"Indeed," Hartell said. "Thank you for your assistance, Governor Price. You may go. Senator Ranking, follow me, please."
Ranking gave Arinda one final look, his expression a mix of disbelief and hatred. Then, without a word, he turned and followed Hartell out. All around them, with the drama now over, the people of Coruscant resumed their activities.
I'll be leaving for Lothal in the morning,
Arinda told the receptionist at her Coruscant office as she gathered the data card she'd forgotten to pick up earlier that day.
I shouldn't be gone long, though. There are a few meetings and conferences next month I'll want to attend. Grand Moff Tarkin has invited me to visit Iriadu, and I'll certainly want to be back for Ascension Week. So you might as well keep everything open and running.
Yes, Governor,
the receptionist said.
Oh, and you got another message about 2 hours ago from a Juihir Madras.
Arinda froze.
Juihir Madras?
Yes, Governor, from the Uvo Ford Detention Center. She's written, about 20 of these messages over the past year or so. I send them on, but your Lothal office always turns them back. Do you want to take them with you now?
Arinda took a deep breath. Juihir Madras. Her old friend. Her old traitorous friend.
No. Keep them here, she said. I'll let you know when I'm ready to read them.